Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I have been looking forward to this conversation because I'd actually never heard of the person that I'm going to be interviewing until her publicist came to me and I just went and watched some of her videos online and I was so deeply inspired that I said, send me the book. I will look at it. And I started looking at the book and very quickly, like within the first two pages, I'm underlining and being deeply convicted. I was like, yes, I want to have this conversation. I need it for me. And I think it's going to encourage so many others who maybe you are in a season where you're just waiting. And it feels like that story that you hoped would be written is not coming to pass. That thing that you're longing for is not happening. And you maybe just feel stuck and you maybe feel tired and you're ready to move on and you don't know what to do. So Dawn Cherie Wilkerson, did I say your name right?
Oh, yeah. You got it.
She is the author of the brand new book, Slow Burn, The Work and Wonder of the Wait. Okay. Work and wonder along with the word wait. I feel like those are not words you usually put with wait. Tell us about waiting being working and waiting being wonder.
Well, thank you for having me today. I think the conversations we have as we wait are game changers. So even to get to talk through what it feels like in the wait and what the mindset could be if we got our eyes a little higher. The work and the wonder of the wait for me is the process of transformation that occurs in the journey of life. So life is full of waiting. As soon as you get one thing, you're going to move to the next season and you're going to be waiting on something else. And it's a lie to believe that as soon as you get whatever you're waiting for, that you're going to be fulfilled, that you're going to have peace, that everything is going to be okay. No, we have eternity seated in our hearts. There's something, there's a deep longing, even if you don't have faith today, that you can't really articulate, but you know that there's more. And that's because eternity is calling us. Life is but a vapor. And there is a day when this life will end for all of us. But as we live, may we not live at a stop sign, just waiting around to get what we need or get what we want. May we actually live in the wait. I walked through 8 years of infertility, and I discovered in those 8 years that waiting is not a season. Waiting is life. So you have to ask yourself, am I going to live in the wait? And I've discovered, and I'm still discovering, because this is not a book that is like, I have all the answers. If anything, I'm sharing some of the things that I really wrestled deeply with and still wrestle with as I journey through life. But I found that I have a purpose right where my feet are planted. That I don't have to wait until I get the job, wait until I have the child, till I find the right spouse. That right where I am, right here, it's the perfect place to celebrate life, to open up my eyes to what God is doing, and to put effort and work and time into sowing seeds that are going to bring a future harvest. And then the wonder, well, that's not our job. That's God's job. I've discovered as I bring God the broken pieces of my life, like the parts that maybe I don't bring to anyone else, that I can be transparent and real with my Creator because He knows me better than I know myself. And then as I bring Him the broken pieces of my life, this beautiful thing happens. He takes the pieces and He makes art out of it. He uses the weakest parts of my life to become really the story of His grace and His strength. So there's work and there's wonder. And it's not, you know, 10 years from now. It's right here, right now.
Live in the wait. Because I was thinking, there's always something we're going to be waiting for.
Always.
Until we get to heaven, like we're never going to be at a place where it's like, everything is perfect in my life and there's nothing that I want changed.
In fact, when you get what you're praying for, there's even more responsibility that comes, you know, as more things are added to that plate of life. Like there's more responsibility and it takes more time and more effort, and it definitely requires more trust. I have four babies now. I waited 8 years to have one, but I can tell you my prayers are prayers of desperation today for God to lead me as I lead my kids, to show me the right path for them, to know how to do this thing that I've never done before, being a mom, how to continue to be a wife, how to do it well, how to invest, how to have discernment and understanding, how to grow in community. Like, we're all waiting.
You talk about in the beginning of your book, humans do not instinctively wait well. We tend to buck against it, even hate it. Entire industries have been created just to shorten our waits. Distractions are welcome if they'll somehow bring our desired outcome more quickly. Many of us just scroll until the time miraculously passes. We assume there's no value in waiting, and over time, we feel the weight wearing us down. In those 8 years when you were hoping and waiting, I'm assuming, you know, the whole time there was this hope at the end that there was going to be this thing that you wanted. How did you not let it wear you down?
Well, I brought it to God first and foremost. It took many years for me to come to a place of sharing it publicly. And God was so kind and patient with me, as he continues to be as I work out my faith day to day. It took me a year to tell my parents, and I talk about that in the book. My parents are my best friends, but I just figured that I could fix it all before anybody knew that there was a problem. But I came to the end of my own strength, and I opened it up to my family and those that were closest to me. And I think in the middle of the wait is when I realized I'm going to become very weary if I try to willpower my way through this. This is a match that my own strength just cannot handle and definitely can't win. And so when I'm weary, I know the words of Jesus that he says, come to me, come to me. So today there's an invitation for you, whether you're on the treadmill or in your car, wherever you are, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And again and again and again, I just would reach out to God, say, Lord, I need help. It's that easy. Like that's a holy prayer right there. God, help me. I need you right now. And I found that again and again, he met me where I was, whether it was through a relationship, a friend, encouragement, don't isolate, reach out to people. Whether it was through my church community, a Sunday, starting my week, putting first things first, lifting my eyes away from my issues, from my problems, my struggles, lifting my eyes to the faithfulness of God. And then also just being aware of my intake, you know, the content that you take into your heart is going to be the content of the story of your life. And so you're writing your story right now. Your story's not on pause. You're not waiting to write your story. No, it's already begun. Who's going to write it? And what will the narrative be? And lastly, not trying to give a big list, but these were game changers for me. Journaling is huge for me, because along the wait, it's not just a pot of memories that I hope I remember over 8 years, but I can go back through those journals, those some tear-stained pages, and see memorial stones of God's faithfulness. Oh, I wrote that day that it happened. It really did happen that way. Not a figment of my imagination. I haven't exaggerated it. God, you met me. Your love is real. You were waiting for me to reach out to you. And so I've returned again and again to those journals to find strength for the things I'm waiting on now.
You say in your book, the issue of your earthly journey is not when will I no longer have to wait? It's who am I becoming in the wait? And as you think of those 8 years, who did you become in the wait?
God transformed my heart. He brought me to a place of identity in him, where I really realized that the greatest label, if you will, for my life, the greatest thing to describe my identity is to be a daughter of God. and that no other label could ever even compare. It doesn't even get a comparison like on Amazon when they put them all next together and you're trying to choose which one's the best. No, nothing compares to being his daughter, and I'm loved and I'm accepted and I'm known and I'm safe with him. And I think when you realize that you are loved by God, that you are known, that you're called his daughter, it gives you the confidence to then live out big faith, to take big risks, to live with your arms open wide, your eyes open to the goodness of God, not hiding or shrinking back because you're still waiting on that. No, I don't have to wait to know that I'm loved. I don't have to wait to know that I'm accepted. Today, I can live in the fullness of God's grace because he put me on the earth right now. And I know that I'm here with a purpose. And so I think I came to that place in the way of God. I may do some things with my life, but nothing's going to compare to that decision I made when I was 5 years old, when I said, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Mm-hmm. I want to follow you. I want to know you. Thank you for what you did 2,000 years ago. I believe my identity is found in that relationship. So that was the biggest change for me in the wait. The second thing was just when you realize his love, you realize you can trust him. And so much of life, our frustrations, our need for control, like we all want control. 2020 taught us none of us are in control, but we all want the reins of control because we think we got to make this thing happen. And I believe in work. I believe in giving everything we got. But at the end of the day, I trust God. So when the door's shut, I trust him. When the door's open, I walk through it with confidence and I trust him. When things take longer than I wanted, I've learned through experience that he is worthy. He's proven himself worthy to be trusted.
When you were talking in your first point, you were talking about like knowing who we are in Christ. And I just was getting this picture of, you know, our Heavenly Father, like the King of Kings, we are his daughters.
Yes.
And like when we own that, it gives us this newfound confidence.
It's everything.
And we don't have to try to prove our worth or win approval or all of that because we just can stand in confidence. Like, that's my Father.
Yes. And we all want to get an A. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I can be that. I have 5 younger brothers. So sometimes you can be like a second mom growing up and you want to check all the boxes. You want to be responsible. You want to be the best mom you can. If you're not careful, the narrative in your mind and in your heart is that you're never good enough, that you just can't figure it out. As soon as you get the laundry fixed, you forgot about the bills. As soon as you take care of the bills, oh my goodness, I was supposed to sign the kids up for that sport. I mean, there's always some area that I need to improve, if I'm honest. But I can let that become the narrative of my life, that I never measure up. Or I can go back to that fundamental, foundational revelation, which is, no, I'm the daughter of God. He loves me. He's with me. And I'm not alone in this. And that changes everything. It changes your thoughts. It changes the way you see yourself. And then because you're not so down on yourself or down on your situation, discouraged, you actually see the resources and the open doors all around you because your eyes aren't on yourself.
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, living for love versus living as loved, you know, when I'm living, seeking out love from other people, I'm really focusing on myself. When I'm living from that place of I am already loved, then I can just fully love others, like just fully show up. I talk about this sometimes because this is something that has really radically changed my life. And I will hear from people saying, okay, but how do, like, I know that's true, but how do I actually believe that's true?
Yeah, I think that when we live a life of generosity, the Bible says this phrase, it says, the world of the generous get larger and larger. I notice that when I'm self-absorbed, when I'm just focused on me, my home, my children's needs, my marriage, when I'm just focused on those things, my world actually gets smaller. And God intended me to give everything I've got to my marriage, to my kids, but he also created me to live with my arms open to my community. walking with other people as iron sharpens iron. The way I work out my relationship with God so often is in the context of my community, learning to forgive, learning how to have conversations, being encouraged, bringing a new thought to the table, working through grief, walking through celebration, walking through unanswered prayers and real questions that we all have. So much of that, of my faith, is worked out in community. And I find that when I'm just focused on, oh, I need this, I've got to have this, this is what I want, my world actually gets smaller. Because if the world of the generous gets larger and larger, then the world of those that are just self-focused, right? It kind of works the opposite. Of course, my world's going to get smaller. I want to live in a big world. I want to show my kids what it looks like to live in a big world. I don't want them to walk through life just thinking about themselves. I want them to trust that if someone else gets their answered prayer, that in no way does it impede God's will and plan for my life, that the resources of God are immeasurable and there's always enough because we're all loved by Him.
So in those 8 years, I know the hardest thing sometimes is it seems like everyone else is getting pregnant and the baby showers and all of those things. You know, no matter what someone who is listening right now, it might not be fertility, but it's something in their life that they're longing for.
Yeah.
And they're probably seeing that other people are getting that thing that they're longing for. And you talked about community and how important that is. But I think there is this tendency, almost like it's safer to just isolate ourselves because then we don't have to know and be reminded that we are still in the waiting space.
Yeah. When we walk in community, we get a brand new perspective. It changes us. When I decide to wake up on Sunday morning and be a part of a community that reminds me that God has a plan for my life, that reminds me that I'm loved and that my children were created with a purpose, it changes not just my Sunday morning. It changes the way I face every day that week. It creates a frame and it tells a different story. And life is the story that you tell yourself. I want the story of my life to be a story of God's faithfulness. If it was just a story of my strength, well, that's going to die and fade when I take my last breath. But there is an eternal narrative. There is an eternal story. It's history. It's His story that God is creating with all of our lives. People that just decide to trust Him in the middle, in the wait, in the mess, with the questions. And I guess I would tell people who are going like, how do I wait when I don't see God do what I've asked Him for so many years to do? I would say exactly what you just said. Don't isolate. I remember flying home to Miami, one flight, and I was on one side of the plane. And as I looked out the window as we landed, all I could see was a swamp. It's known as the Everglades. And it's miles and miles of just murky brown water. There's some alligators or crocodiles and just nothing, not one house as far as you could see. But I knew that if I would zoom out, if I would just go to the other side of the plane, just 10 feet away and look out the other side of the window, that there was a metropolis with 7 million people, so much life, so much to discover, block after block after block of vitality and beauty. And I think when we isolate, we only get one perspective. But God wants to connect us in community. We don't know what's just around the corner. We just believe what we see. No, there's more than what you see right now. There's so much more waiting for you. But you only discover it as you choose not to run and hide. Face your fear, face your insecurity. God's strength inside of you is enough. Get out of your head and start to really live. You were born to live in the light.
Whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies, it covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. Silas used IXL IXL in his math class a few years ago, and he really loved how he could work at his own pace, and he loved that he was able to see instant feedback on how he was doing. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests. It will work for any of your kids because IXL uses smart technology to tailor support to each child's level, personality, and learning pace, which I love. It also saves time because one subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, whether they're pre-K up to 12th grade. And also, my favorite part, you save money because if your child is struggling, this is such a great investment. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Crystal Payne Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off your IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So for the person listening who's saying, okay, but I'm scared of community. I'm scared to step out and live. I have tried that and it didn't go so well. I was disappointed in people and nothing happened.
I've been there. I've definitely been wounded in relationships. And what I've learned, again, is God is worthy to be trusted with our pain, and that relationships are always worth continuing to invest in. You may not continue to invest in a relationship that was toxic or a relationship where, you know, but I have learned in any relationship, there's a difference between being toxic and just working through growing pains in a relationship. We have to be careful sometimes in friendship. That we don't run away at the first disagreement, because it really is where our faith is strengthened, where we learn to be more like Jesus. I want to be someone who forgives. I want to be someone, even in my marriage, like, you know, if we isolated or ran away and gave up on our marriage after every fight, I mean, I would have been divorced like 40,000 times, because we have plenty of disagreements. You know, we're two different human beings who decided to walk in the same direction together. And so I have discovered that sometimes we think friendship is just like the good times. But I've discovered, especially the older I get, that to have real friendships with authentic depth, I have to invest continually. So that takes sacrifice. That takes time. It doesn't come naturally, and it definitely can't be one-sided. Same with my marriage. I've been with my husband. We started dating 23 years ago. It's been 23 years of investing again and again, going, what we invested last year is not going to get us through this year. So I'd encourage you, if you don't have a friend, go be the friend that you want to be. You know, go invite someone to coffee. Ask God to lead you to the right friends. He wants to. You don't need 25. You only need a couple really good friends, you know, and that may look like having another mom over and letting your kids play while you have a really amazing cup of coffee, or really a crummy cup of coffee, but you're together and you laugh, you know, or it may look like going to the park or meeting up at a bookstore. Like, there's so many ways, but it takes me planning in the season of life and investing.
Yeah, I think so often we can easily make excuses for relationships and community to not happen, because it's vulnerable, it's putting yourself out there, and it's work.
Yeah, it is. It's work, but it will change your life. The wisdom that I've received just by having conversations with people that I trust in my life, it has reshaped my path. Mm-hmm. And so many times, God allowed those conversations to take place at a crossroads in my life where just their input, their wisdom, they may be 5 years in front of me, they may be 10 years, maybe 20, but what they said, it might have been one sentence, but it was exactly what I needed. Mm. And that's why I think it's so worth it to show up. Your physical presence matters. Don't be too busy to really celebrate community.
Mm. That's so good. And I think sometimes, you know, you show up and there isn't a lot. It isn't that, wow, I had that aha moment, or wow, we really got along well, or wow, I came home and just feel so filled up. But it's that continuing to show up, like in your marriage, I think, where there's a lot of days where you're choosing to show up, but it's hard and there's not a lot of reward from it.
Yeah, it's true. And that's our daily offering. It's just trusting God with our days and knowing that even in the mundane, God takes moments and we don't even know what He's doing a lot of times. I was laughing, like, my sister-in-law is here with me and I met her years ago, but I never dreamed she'd be my sister-in-law. You know, I thought she was super fun and beautiful and smart and I just loved her, but I never dreamed that today we'd be here with you and that we would actually be family. And so even those chance interactions with people, you just never know how God is going to weave your lives together in the future. I've learned that just casual conversation is not casual to God. Mm. And so even when nothing transpires, it's just the day to day, it can still be a moment of trust with God. It, you don't know how just being around people is impacting your frame of mind today. I know having babies, like, man, I used to go in the other room and nurse or pump and do all the things and be by myself. And then I realized I'm getting really lonely over here. Like, I need to make sure that I'm hanging with some other people who we don't even have to say a word. Sometimes it's not about the word. It's just about someone being with you and knowing that you're not alone in this.
Mm. And I think sometimes for me, it's getting creative. You know, it's getting creative of like, okay, I have an hour here, or I have an hour and a half, and we're going to make it work. Like Saturday, I'm going to go meet a friend and we're going to go walk for an hour. And tomorrow, I'm meeting a friend and we're going to just go to the park. You know, I mean, it's like, but bringing our kids, and we probably won't get much conversation. And no. If you meet friends and you have little kids, you don't get a lot of, we always say, we get 7 words before we're interrupted. But it's that, like, we were together, and it's that building of community. And it's, I feel like so much of it is just continuing to show up again and again and again.
It's so true. And the same is like with my journals. Like, sometimes it's bullet points. Like, I just got to remember this, did this, felt this. And when you're with your friends, it's like a quick update. Hey, did you go to the doctor? How was that? Hey, did you have that conversation? How was it? And you're not able to talk for 3 hours straight because you're, like, you know, pushing your kids on the swing, or you're chasing after them, or you're changing diapers. But in the middle of it, you're still getting a frame. You're getting a handle of the heart of the person that you've decided to celebrate the season of life with. Mm-hmm. And it's valuable. We need each other. I can't put all the pressure of relationship and friendship on my husband. Mm-hmm. Like, I need women in my life. I need people who are just in it too, that we can walk alongside. And nobody can take the place of God. Like, my husband would crumble under the weight of fulfilling me, giving me peace, giving me strength. That's a weight that Rich cannot, my husband's name is Rich, that Rich cannot handle, because he wasn't created to handle that weight. So I think, like, our fulfillment comes from God, but God has given us the gift of community. And I'm really grateful for it, because it's made all the difference. Mm.
And one other thing I was thinking of is, you were talking about, you know, sometimes showing up, it's just an act of obedience. And maybe it feels like nothing came from that. You know, I think of how, like, I've just challenged myself, especially if we're in a new area, or we're, you know, just in, like, I'm feeling like I'm in a lonely season, instead of just sitting there and feeling like sorry for myself, you know, saying, who can I reach out to? And just start reaching out to people. And the thing that I found is, sometimes I'll reach out, go to coffee, and I'll be like, well, I don't think anything came from that, you know, but it was more the act of just showing up. And the more that I do that and continue to do that, that is where the relationships have come from, of just continuing to put myself out there. And sometimes, so it's just like an obedience thing of, God, I'm willing, like, I want to build relationships. I want to show up. So I'm going to just keep trying.
Yeah, I think that's really important for people to hear because, you know, you wouldn't treat like a gym that way. If you're trying to find a new gym or something, you wouldn't go to one and go, don't really love this, so I'm not going to go to a gym at all. No, you'd continue to find something that fits you, that you think will work for you. So it is. I feel like with friendships, there are some people that you have a natural attraction to. There's a synergy. There's a joy. There's an ease. You immediately feel at home. That's a very clear indicator. This is probably a relationship that you want to pursue and you want to invest in. But then there's other relationships that maybe the first meeting is a little awkward, but it's like, you know, we're getting to know each other. And I'm a local church pastor in Miami. And so we started this community of faith in our apartment with just a few people. And now we're in the city at several locations, but we always encourage people, just keep coming back. Mm. Like if you do anything, bring your physical body to a space where you're going to know you're not alone in this crazy big city, where you're going to know you're not alone trying to figure it out as a mom. And then also like join a small group. Like I host people in my home. I put my kids to sleep and we sit and we talk for an hour and a half. And I do it every other Monday. And it's changed my life to pray with others, to know that I'm not alone. It's a game changer, but oftentimes people check out a small group and they're like, it wasn't really for me. I'm like, well, there is one for you. You just have to, like you said, keep putting yourself out there. Mm. Try a different one. There are friendships waiting for you mm. right now. There are friendships that you have been praying for years. The question is, how are you pursuing it?
Mm. And also, I think when our heart changes of understanding our identity in Christ, then we're showing up to those situations, not like, what's in it for me,
mm-hmm.
but God, what do you have for me to pour into this? And for me, it's changed my relationships when I show up like fully knowing who I am in Christ and that this person is never going to be able to fulfill all those things, but I have it in Jesus. And then hopefully there can be like little pockets of heaven in these relationships, but it is, I was thinking like in our prayer life too, of sometimes it feels like nothing is coming from this, but we keep showing up as an act of obedience and we keep showing up and saying, God, I need you. I loved how earlier in the podcast you were talking about just that, God, help me. Like just, you know, sometimes we feel like we need to be praying these big prayers and we need to be like, have all the words. And sometimes it's just, you know, simple, like, God, help me. Like, I need help, right? I don't know what to do. I love how in the book you talk about the most treasured fruit in your life will often grow in the darkest season. And as you reach for the light with full focus, you're experiencing a deep transformation. Remember that the soil of your soul is much more important than the soil of your circumstance. Mm-hmm. So often we feel like it's our circumstances, like that's where our happiness and our joy and our fulfillment, but truly, that's not what it is.
No, there's just so much beauty when we surrender our hearts to God and allow Him to do what only He can do. That fulfillment, that pursuit, what are you pursuing in life? There comes a moment in all of our lives where we have to decide, who's in charge of my life? Am I in charge of it? Does the path fully depend on my own strength? Because I already know I'm pretty weak. I can work hard, but I get exhausted. I have peaks and then I dive. Or am I going to entrust my life to my Creator, the one who made me and made me with a purpose? I want to know His plan. I want to live out the plan that He created for me. And so when I come to Him with surrender, going, God, I really don't know, but I am so glad you do. I'm so glad you do, because that's enough. That's enough for me. I can trust you today that as I say, help me, Jesus, this morning, Lord, guide me. Let me be an encouragement to someone. Allow me to work and to sow good seeds. Lord, help me with my kids, that God is going to lead and He is going to provide. And when it comes to friendships, I think that a lot of times in friendships, we put too much pressure. You touched on it. For people to be everything to us. No one is perfect and we're not perfect. And I think our friendships would last a lot longer if we focused on forgiveness, focused on giving grace to each other, focused on having honest conversations that are foundational with love being at the center. I think that if we didn't gossip, we're so conditioned by culture to be critical, to find the one thing that's wrong. I think our friendships would be forged much deeper and true if we could focus on the things we celebrate about the people across the table from us. We choose what we accentuate in our thoughts, in our conversations, and in our habits. And so that's the continual journey I'm on in the wait, is there's a lot of opportunities and narratives around me. Whose report am I going to believe? And because whoever I believe is who I'm going to follow. I don't want to follow culture, and I definitely don't. I walk through infertility. I don't want to make it what culture says infertility looks like. I want to trust God that there's work and wonder in the way.
You were talking about before we started recording that it was a year ago that you found out very unexpectedly that you were pregnant with your fourth. And as you look back and you see, like, I know in my life, 10 years of infertility, I look back and I realize, like, God changed me so much, and I am a different person. I'm a different mom, but also we would not have fostered. We would not have adopted were it not for that. And I just see how there are two boys who are in our life, one who has reunified with his mom and one who is my son, who would not be here if it were not for those 10 years. And so I know, I'm sure for you, you look back and you see how that weight.
Oh my goodness.
There are things in your life that would not be if it were not for that period of waiting.
No, I look back over those 8 years and I would not take back a single day. And as I say that in the same breath, I'll say, it's not because I did it all perfect. Mm-hmm. That's not the story, is, oh, I did it all right. No, but God's grace was enough. And he transformed me, and he used my mistakes, and he used my shortcomings. He used every part of it. And I look back and I go, this was transformational. Because when I hit a wall and realized I cannot make this happen on my own, I had to come to a place of honesty and realize, God, you really are enough. If I never have a baby, Lord, there's so many children to love. Lord, there's so many people in our community to care for, to show up for, to keep my arms open, not sitting with my arms crossed, waiting to get whatever it is that I'm waiting on. And it transformed me. And it did. It happened in the dark. You can sow seeds in the dark. You're going to reap a harvest. One scripture that I really leaned on is, those who sow in tears, they'll reap with shouts of joy. So even your tears are seeds when you trust them to God. They're not just wiped away. They don't just disintegrate and disappear, stain your jeans. Those tears are seeds of trust if you give them to God. And this season you're in, it doesn't define your life, but it could define your faith. And so don't miss out on what God has for you right here.
I just so appreciate this book. I have been so encouraged by it. And I know every single person who's listening has something that they're waiting for, something that they're longing for. And I love your heart to encourage us to live in the wait and not miss out on so much that God has for us in that. So everyone listening, go get a copy of Dawn Sheree Wilkerson's book, Slow Burn, The Work and Wonder of the Wait. We will link to that in the show notes.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.